We are recording today on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish, Musqueam, and Comox First Nations. Hello and welcome to Love to Sew. I'm Caroline, the owner of Blackbird Fabrics.
And I'm Helen, the designer behind Helen's Closet Patterns.
We're two sewing buds who love to sew our own clothes and want to encourage you on your sewing journey too.
Join us for today's topic, elastic.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
Are you feeling nice and stretched out?
Oh, I'm feeling very limber. I'm feeling very...
How's your recovery? We're failing at the elastic puns, but we're trying.
Oh my gosh. I think I could bounce back, though.
Oh yeah, we're going to bounce back into it. We'll bounce back from those terrible puns. Yeah. Well, obviously, we're talking about elastic today.
Who knew you could do a whole episode on the subject? There are so many types of elastic.
There really are. I mean, braided elastic, knit elastic, woven elastic, clear elastic, swimwear elastic. How many times can I say elastic? There's more. There's even more than that.
Yes. And they all come in different colors, different prints, different widths, and you can use them for different applications. So it's a lot, and it can be a little overwhelming when you're a new sewist. You go to your local store or online and you're trying to find the right elastic for your project, and it's hard to choose.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming, which is why we're here to do a whole episode all about elastic. It's not going to be boring, folks. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to just... totally
bounce along.
Yeah. Perfect. We're going to bounce along all of these different sections and get you to the end where you're going to feel really awesome about elastic.
So what exactly is elastic made out of?
Well, elastic is made from rubber or spandex that is then wrapped in polyester, nylon, or cotton.
And today we're going to cover different types of elastic along with which elastic you should use for your next project. Caroline, do you like sewing elastic?
Yes, I do love sewing elastic, partially because I love wearing elastic. So I'm definitely used to sewing it. I love a good elasticated waist and I love sewing a lot of things that include elastic. So over the years, I've just gotten really comfortable with it and I've grown to love it. How about you?
Me too. I was intimidated by elastic at first, but after many, many elastic waisted garments, and we have a few in our pattern collection as well, and sewing undies and sewing swimwear too, I feel like both of those have really upped my elastic game and I'm no longer intimidated by elastic. But I do still find that there are a lot to choose from and even I get confused.
Yeah. And I actually learned a little bit prepping for this episode, even though we carry elastic at Blackbird and I've been sewing with elastic for a really long time, there are types of elastic that I did not know about and some little intricacies to do with elastic that are really good to know when you're picking out the right one for your project. So I'm excited to talk about it today. I wonder if you have a favorite project you've sewn up with elastic or maybe a favorite pattern that uses elastic.
Well, recently I've been making a lot of Arden pants because we released that pattern last spring and it has an elastic waist, but it also has elastic cuffs and it has a wide or narrow elastic cuff. So I've been working with really wide elastic, which I've never had the opportunity to use for any other pattern. So a 3-inch wide elastic that you put into the cuff of these pants and then top stitch. And the end result is so beautiful. You get those nice crinkly lines. You get that jogger cuff look. So I've really been enjoying experimenting with using this wide elastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3-inch wide elastic. We started carrying that at Blackbird when you released the Arden pants. That's a pretty hefty elastic width.
Oh yeah, it's wide.
But I think it creates a really, really nice look and really kind of emphasizes that jogger look that you mentioned that I think is really beautiful.
Thank you. What about you? What do you use it for?
Always Nini culottes.
That's a named clothing pattern.
Yeah, the ninis are my favorite elastic waist pattern. I've hacked them into shorts. I have a few pairs of the culottes. They're so easy to wear. I always get compliments on them. I just think it's such a great elastic waist pant pattern.
Amazing. Okay, what's the first type of elastic that we're going to cover today?
Okay, so the first one we're going to talk about is braided elastic. And if you're looking to identify a braided elastic, it has kind of a ribbed texture to it. It looks like parallel lines running through the length of elastic. Often, braided elastic is available in those narrower widths, so like a 1/4 inch or 3/8 of an inch or 1/2 inch. You don't often see it in the wider widths.
Okay. And it's lightweight and it's best used on lightweight to medium weight fabrics. It does have a tendency to curl and it becomes more narrow as you stretch it, which is one way that you can tell the difference between elastic when you stretch it out. Does it get skinnier as you stretch it or does it not get skinnier? And that's a good way to separate a lot of different types of elastic and figure out what you're going to use. So it's not as durable as other types of elastic and over time it will lose its elasticity.
Yeah, and that's a really important thing to keep in mind when you're deciding what to use that elastic for. It is very easy to find and it's a common elastic for garment making, but keep in mind there might be better options out there depending on the garment you're sewing up. I feel that braided elastic is best used for casings or channelings. You don't want to use braided elastic in an application where you're going to be top stitching or sewing that elastic directly onto your garment because as Helen mentioned, it's not as durable and it will lose that elasticity over time. And when you sew directly over it, it kind of stretches it out a little bit. So it's usually best used in those casings where it's just kind of inserted into a casing or a channel and it's not sewn over.
Mm-hmm. It gives you the opportunity to replace it too. If it does start to feel like it's wearing out, it doesn't have as much snap anymore, you can just open that casing, pull it out, and put in something new.
That's a great point. Yeah. So the next kind of elastic we're going to talk about is knit elastic. And this one looks like it has a really smooth kind of appearance and feel to it. It's kind of sleek and smooth and there's not really any noticeable ridges or anything that's really easy to differentiate. So it's a bit trickier to figure out if it's a knit elastic. When you stretch knit elastic, it does not become more narrow. So that's one way you can figure it out. And it also works really great for lightweight to medium weight fabric. It's really versatile. It's great for direct contact on your skin because it tends to be quite soft. And it also maintains its resiliency, so it doesn't break down as easily as braided elastic.
So you can use knit elastic for casings, but you can also use it for when you're sewing the elastic directly onto the garment or top stitching your elastic into your casing. Knit elastic works great for undies or for boxer shorts. And often in working on those kinds of projects, there's more stitching involved. And that's why knit elastic is a great option because it can withstand the additional stitching without deterioration and you're not going to need to replace it.
Yes, great point. So if you're looking for kind of those narrower widths of elastic, but you want something that's more resilient, you'd probably go with a knit elastic over a braided elastic, right?
Yes. 10 out of 10, A plus. And then there is woven elastic, and woven elastic has vertical and horizontal ribs. So to the eye, it kind of looks like a bunch of rectangles side by side or like a ladder kind of appearance. Those rectangles often indicate that it's also non-roll elastic, so it doesn't twist and roll as easily. Other woven elastic has a smooth look and feel. Blackbird, I know, carries a woven elastic, right?
Yes, and we call it soft woven elastic. It's kind of a name that we came up with ourselves, but it's that sturdy, you get that sturdy of the woven elastic, but yet it's also quite soft. So I feel that it's more multi-purpose than, you know, the commonly found woven elastic that has that kind of ladder look to it. It feels softer in a waistband, but it's still giving you that structure that you need for example, the Nini culottes, where you don't want it to bend too much in your folds, you know, the folds of your body, and have it kind of keep its shape while not cutting into you. So I really love the stuff that we carry at Blackbird. I know I'm a little biased there, but I have to mention it. And also just that there are different types of woven elastics out there. I think the most commonly found one is the one that looks like a ladder with those rectangles side by side, and it's really marketed as non-roll, but there are a few different kinds of woven elastics.
Yes, and it's actually the strongest garment elastic. So woven elastic does not become more narrow as you stretch it, and it maintains its resiliency and structure when you're sewing with it. And if it's a non-roll woven elastic, it means that it won't roll on itself. So woven elastic really sounds like a great option, especially for those elastic waistband casings.
Yes, definitely. You want to use it because it's kind of heavyweight in nature. Woven elastic works really well for outerwear, workwear, pants. So you want to use woven elastic on garments with fitted elastic waistbands. It works really great when you're pairing it with bottom weight fabrics because it has that durability.
Excellent. And it sounds like it doesn't come in narrower widths. Is that right?
Yeah. So from what I've seen, the woven elastic usually starts at about a half an inch and goes up from there. It's one of those ones that will come in those wider widths. And I think that is kind of an indication of the best application for it. It's for those waistbands and cuffs and things that need a little bit more structure.
Right. Okay, let's talk a bit about clear elastic, because this is a fun notion you can use when you're sewing. You'll see it sometimes in like stabilizing a shoulder. And at my local fabric shop, it's actually like in the case at the front of the store. Like it's this special item next to like the rhinestones, you know? And I'm not quite sure why they have it in there, but that always makes me feel fancy when I'm buying it.
That's funny. I don't actually think of clear elastic as particularly fancy, but it is a bit more of a specialty item. Maybe they have it in the case because if it were just like out on display because it's clear, it would just like disappear.
It's
and
true.
They want people to know.
I have there. Lost my clear elastic many times when I'm sewing. You cut a piece and then it's just gone. Yeah.
No, but the characteristics of clear elastic would be obviously that it's clear and it's also lightweight. It's really soft and very, very light, and you can lose it really easily, like Helen said. It can be stretched up to 4 times its size, which is pretty cool. And it does become more narrow as you stretch it. So that's something to note. However, it won't lose its resiliency when you're sewing with it. I do want to include a word of caution because cheaper varieties of clear elastic can actually easily break, and they do tend to be a little bit more firm. So you want to make sure that you're checking the clear elastic that you're buying. I usually would recommend against buying those prepackaged types that you can't touch. You want to be able to touch and feel your elastic before you buy it. Or obviously, if you're buying it online and you can't do that, make sure you're reading those descriptions and really understanding the quality of the elastic. I feel like with clear elastic, if you go for a little bit of a higher price point, it's totally worth it because it means you're getting that quality. And also keep in mind that clear elastic doesn't age super well. So you want to be sure to test it before you're sewing it into your garment.
Yes. And because it's made of plastic, you also need to be cautious with your iron. Don't put your iron directly on your clear elastic. Always try to iron from another angle or use a press cloth. We're dealing with a piece of plastic here. So definitely be cautious when you're using heat. But it's often used to gather knits if you're doing a little gather detail along the side of a pair of, you know, maternity leggings or something like that, or stabilizing seams like neckline, shoulder seams, or in dancewear, you can see clear elastic. And it should feel quite soft. I've definitely used that firmer, cheaper stuff that you're talking about, and it does break, and the needle can actually puncture holes in it that just cause it to disintegrate, essentially. So you do want to look out for the nicer stuff and get something that's nice and soft.
I've also used clear elastic in like scalloped edges of lace when you're making a bra or a pair of underwear and you're using that scalloped edge. You want to reinforce it so that it doesn't stretch out too much over time. So inserting a clear elastic on the inside, just along the edge on the inside of the scallops, is going to ensure that those scallops have a really nice recovery and sort of form over your body the way that you want them to. So that's a really great application as well.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, swimwear elastic is the next one we're going to talk about. What it looks like kind of depends on the type that you buy. You can find cotton rubber swimwear elastic or just all rubber. So the cotton looks similar to braided elastic, but it has a more natural off-white color. Some of it even has like those little natural flecks through it. So that's the kind that's kind of rubber on the inside and cotton on the outside. And then you can also get rubber swimwear elastic. So that one has a ribbed surface and it's coated with silicone to make it easier to sew than other elastics because it has like a nice kind of smooth, almost sticky texture to it that makes it more fun to sew than some elastics. And I personally really like rubber. I started using it this year when we started carrying it in our store. And I think it's a really nice application for swimwear. And I also think it's easier to sew. It feels like it's going to last longer than the cotton kind of alternative, but I've used them both and they've both worked really well.
Yeah. So you use a swimwear elastic specifically, because it can withstand the salt and the chlorine water, the conditions that you're going to be hopefully using your swimwear in. And it's different from other elastic due to its fiber content, that it has rubber in it, or it's all rubber, and it doesn't lose its elasticity when it's sewn. So it is a good idea if you want to have some longevity in your swimsuit to use a swimwear elastic. I have made swimwear without swimwear elastic, I will confess. And, you know, it did lose its elasticity over time, but I do like to sew a new swimsuit every year because I'm a sewist. So it wasn't too bad, but in hindsight, it would have been nice to have used the rubber elastic and get a little bit more life out of that garment.
Yeah, definitely. It's something to consider if you think that you're going to be using that swimwear for years to come, if you think it's going to get a lot of use, especially if you know it's going to go in that chlorine or salt water. Using the correct elastic is probably a good call. And of course, if you want to learn more about sewing swimwear, we have a whole episode on it. That's episode 47, over 100 episodes ago, Helen.
Oh my goodness.
All about sewing swimwear. We'll link that in the show notes for everyone.
Fantastic. Okay, lingerie elastic. I feel like we talked quite a bit about this in our sewing undies episode, but we're going to recap here. Lots of lingerie elastic has a plush back, which makes it more comfortable because this elastic is often going to be right up against your skin. So you do want something that's going to be comfortable for you to wear. And there's lots of different kinds of lingerie elastic based on the width, the colors, the finishes, the decorative elements. So you can get Pico plush elastic, which is the elastic that has the little bumps along the edge. Mm-hmm. You can get strap elastic for a strap on a bra. You can get fold over elastic, which we're going to go into more detail about next. And you can get narrow soft elastic, which typically comes in a 1/8 to 1/4 inch width and is extra soft for putting into the edges of your undies or bras.
Yes. And most lingerie elastic are a form of knit elastic, and it typically doesn't become more narrow when you stretch it, and it typically does not lose its resiliency. But keep in mind, there is a huge variety in quality and characteristics in lingerie elastic. So for example, with plush back elastic, you can get everything from lighter weight ones that have not so great recovery to firmer ones that have excellent recovery but are maybe not as soft, and sort of everything in the spectrum in between. So I suggest, if you find a supplier or a type of lingerie elastic that you love, stock up. It's one of those things that's always great to have on hand in those basic colors so that you know you have the one that you like, that's the quality that you like on hand.
Yes. And when you're going to use this elastic is for making lingerie, undies, undergarments. Of course, we talk about bra making in episode 53 with Emerald Erin. And we also talked about it in our sewing undies episode. So if you want to hear more about how to apply this kind of elastic, you can check out episode 162.
So let's talk about fold over elastic, which is kind of related. This one is commonly abbreviated as FOE in the sewing world. What it looks like is, I mean, you can identify fold over elastic by the line that runs down the center. So this ridge actually helps to allow the elastic to fold in half. It comes in a variety of colors. It often has a shiny side and a matte side. And it can also come in some really fun prints. I remember when I first got into sewing undies, I went on like an Etsy elastic buying spree. And I bought a whole bunch of fold over elastic and some really fun little floral prints that I thought would be so cute. A little confession here, they're definitely still in my stash. But maybe, you know, this episode will inspire me to pull them out and make some undies.
Oh, make some undies for your niece. Yeah. That would be so fun. And fold-over elastic does not become more narrow as it stretches, and it doesn't lose its elasticity as sewn. It can vary depending on the type. So some are more stretchy than others, similar to all the lingerie elastics we were talking about before. There's a huge variety. So just testing it out to see if it has the stretch that you need for your project. And you use it to encase raw edges. So because you can use it along a raw edge, it works great for knit garments and lingerie. I've used fold over elastic a few times. I'm definitely a Pico elastic fan myself, but I know that you're kind of in one camp or the other when it comes to lingerie elastic. So I have tried fold over elastic. I think it's amazing. I think I just don't have as much practice sewing it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where once you get used to the flow of attaching elastic when you're sewing your own undergarments, it's kind of hard to learn a new way or a new technique or use a new type of elastic. So I'm in the same camp as you. I'm so used to the plush back Pico elastic that the few times that I have tried sewing fold over elastic, I've been kind of frustrated. but we should pick it up again. We should practice, shouldn't we?
Yes. Well, I realized I was doing it wrong too, because I thought that you just sort of sandwiched it over the edge and had to sew it all perfectly in one go. But I learned that you need to do it in two passes, just like you do with your plush back elastic. So you're supposed to sew it on open, then fold it over, and then sew it closed, which was so much easier. So I think I am going to try it. I got some more, and I think it'll be great with this new undies pattern that I've been working on.
Oh, tease. I can't wait for that undies pattern, Helen.
You're gonna have to wait.
Okay, fine. Well, we definitely wanted to also touch on a kind of broader category of just decorative and fashion elastic. This can come in a lot of different colors, prints, textures. There can also have special trim elements incorporated in these types of elastics. There's so many varieties and options. There's polka dot, sequin, glow-in-the-dark elastic, rainbow elastic, ruffled elastic, sparkly elastic. You can have so much fun with elastics, and they can be a really fun detail depending on the project. Pacific Trimming has an amazing fashion elastic selection, so we'll link that in the show notes. It's a little bit difficult to define the characteristics of a decorative elastic because it really depends on the elastic itself. But as we've mentioned before, a tip that we have is to just test it out, read that description to identify what kind of elastic it is. For example, is it woven or braided or knitted? And make sure that that is going to work for the application that you have in mind. I think decorative elastic is a great way to have fun and, you know, be a little bit creative with trimmings. Have you ever used decorative elastic in a project?
I have not. I'm trying to think of where you might use it. I'm mostly picturing like kids' clothes or costumes. I think there's lots of places in that arena where I could see using it. But I also haven't seen that much in store. I'm going to check out Pacific Trimming. It sounds like a fun place to shop.
Yeah, I feel like a frilly kind of ruffled elastic would be really fun on a pair of undies, just for the leg openings perhaps, or even on a bra along the neckline if you're finishing the edge of a fabric, if you're not working with lace, or if you're working with a lace that doesn't have a scallop, you can use a decorative elastic to kind of add some kind of fun element to that undergarment.
Yeah. I could see like a cage bralette where you construct the bralette, but then you add a decorative elastic as like a cage over the bust, or you could do it along the top of a pair of boxers that might show, you know, peeking out under jeans. So that would be a fun place for like an animal print elastic or something.
Oh, I've definitely seen at one of our local fabric shops here in Vancouver, Dresso, they have an insane elastic selection in their basement. And I've seen some really fun printed ones, like the, like you said, animal print or like the rainbow kind of yarn dye sort of idea. And I always think like, oh, that would be so cool for the waistband of a pair of undies or a pair of boxers or briefs or something like that.
Totally.
Yeah. So obviously these types of elastics are usually meant to be seen. So it acts as a visual element to your garment. So keep that in mind when you're selecting it. But there's so many options here.
Okay, what about elastic cording? Because I feel like I've seen a lot of that this year with mask making. There's been elastic cording or elastic thread kind of holding the sides of the mask up. So what is the deal with that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a thicker thread that's stretchy. That's how I would describe it. It looks like a stretchy tube. And elastic cording uses fiber yarns that are knitted or wrapped around a stretchy core. And there are different types of cording and elastic threads. Some are stretchier than others. There's different thicknesses and softness varieties. So there's a lot of different ways that you can use it.
Yes, heavier cords are best used for button loops or narrow casings, and thinner cords work great for jewelry making, but aren't necessarily recommended for garment sewing.
Yeah, an elastic thread is used in your bobbin, and it can be used to create that smocking or shearing effect. We talk about this in our threads episode, which is episode 138. And I have to say, I don't have a ton of experience with smocking or shearing, but I've been dying to try it out since Victory Pattern came out with the Sophia dress and top, where apparently she kind of walks you through the techniques. It's very beginner friendly and it's such a cute pattern.
Yes. It reminds me of those tops that we had in the 90s that were like super, super, super tiny, like it looks like doll clothes. Mm-hmm. And then you put it on and it stretches out.
Yes.
Like it has that like crinkly effect. It's
definitely
so cool.
Yeah. So we'll have to experiment with that in the future as well. One new kind of elastic that I learned about when we were prepping for this episode is buttonhole elastic. So buttonhole elastic has buttonholes built into the elastic.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
It's so cool. I didn't know about this either. They're spaced out evenly, and the buttonholes are there to allow a button to pass through it. So it allows for you to really control the length of the elastic, which is great for changing waistlines because you simply adjust the elastic to meet your needs. So you might need to look up a picture of how this works to see it in action. But essentially, you can have a casing, and you can have the elastic that is in the casing, but it's open on both sides. So you are pulling the elastic tighter or looser depending on your needs and fastening it on a couple of buttons around the waist so you can loosen it or tighten it.
Yeah, I think it's such a cool notion to have around in your sewing room. You can use it for maternity clothing, kids' clothing, or anyone with a changing waistline. I think it's a great kind of notion to have in your back pocket for when you might need it.
Yeah, and a cool notion to have if you're like an expert sewist. You've got your buttonhole elastic.
Very cool, yeah.
Another cool type of elastic that I had not experienced was the draw cord or drawstring elastic. So this kind of elastic actually has a built-in drawstring that is encased inside the elastic.
Yes, oftentimes that drawstring can expand to double the length of the elastic itself. And similar to buttonhole elastic, draw cord elastic looks like a knitted elastic, except it has a drawstring running through the center of it. So instead of buttonholes running through the center, it's a drawstring.
And it's used typically inserted into a casing and a waistband, and it's very popular in sportswear.
Yes, very cool. Okay, we also wanted to talk a little bit about elastic for mask making, because obviously I think that's on a lot of our minds right now. When making face masks, comfort is key, at least for me. And since often the elastic is looped behind your ears, you want to look for something that's super soft and generally pretty narrow so that it kind of fits behind your ear. I think quarter-inch lingerie elastic is a great option because it's comfortable. It's also readily available, and it has that sort of plushy feel to it. Personally, my favorite thing to use is actually just strips of knit fabric because they curl up and they just end up looking like cords, and they're just the softest type of elastic. Even though they're not really elastic, they're just strips of knit. But I think that they're just so soft and really, really comfortable behind the ears. You can tie them at your desired lengths. And there's never a shortage of knit scraps to use for masks, at least not in my sewing room. So I love the idea that it's also a scrap buster.
Me too. That's what I did when I made masks earlier this spring for my family, is I did the cutting strips of knit fabric and tying them because then they can adjust to suit their needs. And I also think you could use that elastic cording in this instance if you had some of that on hand. But as sewists, you probably have knit fabric lying around. So it really is the most affordable and the most scrap busting, most eco-friendly option, if you will. So I think it's a great choice for sewing masks.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I think we should talk about how to choose the right elastic for your project, because I feel like this is somewhere people get a little bit tripped up.
Yes. So we do have some tips for selecting the correct elastic. Consider what you are working on. Are you working on a piece of outerwear or a pair of undies? These projects will require very different types of elastic. So you want to consider the weight of your fabric, lightweight elastic for lighter weight fabrics, and sturdier elastic should be used with heavier weight fabrics.
Yeah. And of course, we recommend checking the pattern recommendations to see if a specific elastic type is noted there. A lot of the time, elastic is a personal preference, though. So you might like your elastic to be soft, or you might like it to be sturdy. You might like the non-roll kind or not like the non-roll kind. So once you experiment with different types, don't be afraid to sub in your favorite elastic type when you feel it's appropriate.
I love putting plush elastic into my waistband casings because it doesn't roll as much as even I find the non-roll elastic type. I find the plush type that you would see normally in like the bottom of a bra band or the top of a pair of boxers is so soft and can hold its own inside of a waistband casing. So that's my personal preference for the waistband casing.
Yeah. And I like the kind of sturdier elastic, but it still needs to have that softness to it. So I like that kind of balance in my elastic, which can be a little bit hard to find, but I definitely recommend figuring out what you like in an elastic and just stocking up on that and subbing it in when needed.
Yeah. And once you find kinds that you like, getting a bunch of it, I do like having it on hand hand and not having to worry about going to the store. If I'm making a project, I always have a good chunk of waistband elastic on hand and undies elastic on hand so that I can make things when the mood strikes me.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, should we talk a little bit about elastic application?
Yes, you should be considering your needle type and your stitches when you're sewing elastic. So using a ballpoint needle or stretch needle for sewing elastic is going to give you the least trouble because you might run into like skipped stitches or tearing of those elastic fibers if you're using a regular needle.
Yeah, and when you're sewing elastic, the most important thing is to use a stretch stitch. So the stitching can stretch with the elastic. If you use just a plain straight stitch, you're risking those stitches popping as the elastic stretches and moves over your body. And when you're attaching the elastic, you want to use a wide zigzag stitch to help secure it. And then when you're top stitching, you can reduce that width a little bit. But definitely for attaching and top stitching, I would go with pattern instructions. Often they'll have specific instructions depending on the application. I think that there's a lot of different ways to do that.
Yes. And the only caveat I would say here is for waistbands, when I'm top stitching, I don't use a stretch stitch. I just use a straight stitch, but that's because I'm stretching the elastic to its maximum stretch out point and then sewing it while it's already stretched out. So when it all snaps back, it still can stretch over my body.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really good point. There are different ways to insert elastic, including casing, sewn onto fabric, and channeling. So I think we should cover a couple of those kind of methods today and try to our best to describe them to our listeners. So let's start with casing. Casing is when you insert the elastic into an already sewn in casing. So for example, on a waistband, you would attach the waistband to your pants or your skirt, but leave an opening on the back large enough to feed the elastic in. And then inserting the elastic through the casing, that's probably the most time consuming part of that step. Be patient. You want to attach a safety pin to the end of your elastic to help feed it through. I find that really helpful. Even taping that safety pin closed to ensure that it doesn't open during the process can really be helpful. I don't know if you've been there, but I've definitely had a safety pin open inside an elastic waist kind of casing. And it's so frustrating to try to figure out how to close that without actually seeing what you're doing. And then after feeding it through the casing, you can overlap the edges and sew a box shape or zigzag on the overlap to secure it in place.
And one thing that I experienced recently working with my mother-in-law in my studio is that this process of moving elastic through a casing is so hard on her arthritis in her hands. So she really struggled with that. And it got me thinking about how there are so many things in sewing that require a lot of dexterity and strength in the hands, and that can be really challenging. So hopefully you have a friend that can help you with this step, but I just wanted to put that out there. If you experience frustration when doing this step, you're not alone. It's challenging. So, you know, if waistbands with elastics in them are not for you, that's okay.
That's such a great point. You also want to check that your elastic isn't twisted before you close up the waistband. There's probably nothing more frustrating than like sewing up your elastic, closing up the waistband, trying on your garment, and realizing that the elastic is all twisted inside. Really, really annoying.
Yes.
You might also want to add some lines of top stitching to the elastic. This creates a really nice look. It also helps that elastic stay in place so that it won't roll and twist when you're getting your garment on and off. I think the Arden pants are a really great example of this, how beautiful that top stitching on an elastic waistband or cuff can look.
Yes. And we have a whole blog post about how to top stitch elastic and an IG story highlight if you want to see it in action.
Oh yeah, that whole stretching and top stitching thing that you were talking about before, you have it on a highlight.
I do.
We have to link that in the show notes. I loved watching that.
Yeah, it was a fun one to share. A lot of people were really surprised that you actually sew on the elastic. When you see those top stitch elastic waistbands, you might think, oh, it's several lines of small elastic in several casings. It's giving that look, but it's not. It's just a thick elastic with top stitching on top.
So cool.
And it's a fun thing to experiment with your sewing because you can add this to garments that don't have waist cinching, like a jacket or a dress that has a boxier shape. You can sew this little channel or tunnel on the inside of your garment or the outside if you want it to be decorative. And then you can feed through elastic in similar to how we mentioned with the casing in order to actually cinch that waist up, or, you know, a drawstring if that's easier.
Yes, definitely. And finally, you would sew that elastic together and close the opening, or maybe just kind of top stitch it. If it's maybe a half elastic casing just on the back, perhaps you just top stitch it on the sides. So yeah, I think that's a really cool way to add elastic or add cinching to a garment that might not have it. That's such a great point.
Lastly, you can sew elastic directly onto your garment. So the key to sewing elastic directly onto the fabric is to ensure that the elastic is distributed evenly on the garment before you start sewing. So if your elastic needs to be sewn together, like for a leg opening or swimwear bottoms, you can use the quartering method to have all four of your quarters marked and then fill it in with pins. And this is when you sew your elastic into a loop and marker pin the elastic in four even parts.
Yes. And once you get used to sewing elastics, you might be able to sew elastics onto fabric by feel, the way that we like to do it for sewing undies. This is best if you watch someone do it. I think it's hard to master if you haven't seen someone do it in like a video or in person or haven't had instruction about it. But it is really fun once you kind of get the hang of it to do it this way.
Yes. So with some of these methods, you may need to sew elastic ends together. So this can happen when you sew the elastic on top of the fabric, like for swimwear undies, or, you know, you have your casing and you inserted your elastic and now you have your two ends you need to put together. So the pattern may indicate an overlap that they want you to use, and you just overlap the ends and sew them together. But you can also butt the two edges of the elastic together and join with a zigzag stitch to hold those two edges together. So that's an option that reduces the bulk of that overlap.
Yeah, good point. I've never tried that before. I always do the overlap, but I have to say it's often noticeable where that overlap is on the garment, especially even in a elastic waist pants. You can kind of see on the back a little section that doesn't feel as like cinched in or scrunchy.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to try the budding method that we mentioned here. I also want to give a special mention to hacks in honor of you, Helen, the hack queen, because I think that you can totally hack a pattern to add elastic depending on the pattern. You have a whole blog tutorial on hacking the Winslow culottes with an elastic waist. I think it's a great way to add comfort to a garment and just a really fun hack that you can try out with maybe your favorite patterns to make them, you know, work for different, I don't know,
seasons of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a full elastic waist and a half elastic waist, which is fun with pants if you want that flat front, elastic back, or like business in the front, party in the back situation. So there is lots of different ways you could incorporate elastic into your garments.
Yes, definitely. And we also wanted to include just some general tips for everyone about elastics. Our first one is to buy off of a roll versus in a package if you're purchasing it in the store. I mentioned this in the clear elastic section, but I think it applies to all elastics. If you can, you know, touch it and feel it before you buy it, that's such a great way to go. You will be able to get a good feel of the elastic by stretching it out and kind of, you know, touching it, feeling it, making sure that it's soft enough for you. And if you can't do that, again, descriptions, ask questions of the online stores that you're ordering from. Just do your best to do a little bit of research before you just buy an elastic so that you know it's going to work for your project.
Yes, an elastic is generally inexpensive, so it's worth it to spend a little bit more to have a more quality elastic for your garment sewing.
Yeah, and you also want to avoid using old elastic because it can age over time. It can lose its elasticity. That spandex can kind of break down. So it's a good idea to use newer elastic or just test out that old elastic before you use it.
Yeah, sometimes after inserting an elastic, you might notice after wearing it a few times that the elastic becomes looser. So that's an indication that maybe the elastic was old or that it just wasn't that high quality. So it didn't have that good recovery. So it's a good reason to test stretching out your elastic a few times before you buy and just seeing how it performs. And it allows the elastic to relax and give you a bit more of an accurate fit too.
Yes, definitely. Okay, to wrap up, I feel like we should talk about some shops that carry elastics. If anyone out there is at home and wanting to buy some elastics online instead of trying to find them in person, which might be difficult these days, where can they go?
Well, I always check your shop first because I love you to see if you have what I'm looking for. Otherwise, I tend to turn to WowWack because they have just a ton of notions and supplies, lots to choose from. Also, Emerald Erin is one of my favorite Canadian suppliers, focusing more on lingerie supplies, and Bramaker Supply as well. I've bought lots of lingerie elastics from them too.
Yeah, they're great. And I also wanted to kind of add on to your mention of Wawak, because you can also get the same supplies from Cleaner's Supply. It's kind of a different name, but it's basically the same store with the same selection. So maybe if, you know, you can't find what you want in Wawak, they might have it at Cleaner's Supply. And I just think their prices are really great because they sell often like full rolls of things. So it's a great way to get a good deal if you know what you're getting and you know that you like it. Pacific Trimming, we also mentioned that in this episode. Worth mentioning again, they have an amazing selection. Stone Mountain and Daughter Fabrics has some great elastics online. Fancy Tiger Crafts as well. And Etsy is a great place to find elastic. I found some really beautiful, fun, kind of decorative elastics on there, some fun fold-over elastics on there. So definitely worth checking out Etsy. And of course, your local fabric shop, even though I mentioned you might not be able to go in person, you might be able to buy online locally or just pick that curbside pickup option. Always good to support local when you can, of course.
Yes. Okay. Did we cover all the elastics?
I think we just bounced through that episode and now we're at the end feeling all loose.
I'm stretching myself a little bit thin here.
Oh, you're better at that than I am.
Do you have a favorite make of yours that has elastic in it? Please tag us in a story or a post on social. We love seeing your makes. Also, share with us your favorite types of elastic if you have a good source. I want to know.
Definitely. And if you have any other elastic questions for us, reach out to us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com or leave us a voicemail. We love hearing from you. We'd love to chat about elastic with you. Hit us up.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.com and Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com.
We're recording today in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you are enjoying the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and get a 15% discount code in both of our shops and a bonus mini episode. This month, we're talking all about darts. I mean, come on. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thank you to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Stay stretchy.
Stay stretchy.
Stay stretchy.
Always
out there.
Be lounging.